Linda Carlisle. Heaven is a place on earth. River 1467. Sunraysy is Feel Good Station, 18 past 7. Jace with you and joining me in the studio, editor of Mildura Weekly, John Dooley. Good morning to you, John.
Morning, Jason.
We may be in for a rocky couple of weeks with the outbreak over the last 24 hours. No doubt Mildura Base Hospital will be checking all their required management.
Oh, well, they swing into full COVID mode whenever there's a case. They've been on standby for the last 18 months. They're ready for anything that comes their way. But look, it is concerning. I think we're seeing these outbreaks on a larger scale, and there's bound to be more as the days go by. But the Mildura-based public hospital is equipped and ready to handle that. And I think you may be catching up with the CEO on Monday.
He's penciled in, but you never know what happens. Everything changes so quickly, but hopefully he joins me Monday morning to give me a you know, just an idea of what is taking place. But yeah, I mean, they've done it so well previously. I think they may be a little bit more challenged this time, but nonetheless, I'm sure they'll be spot on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's get to the paper front page now. Here's a question. Good business or fascism? Kerwa Caravan Park saying no one to enter unless they're vaccinated. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, look, I think it does make sense, and you know, Rick Young, who's the proprietor of the Kerwa Caravan Park, he's concerned on a number of fronts. Firstly, for his father, his elderly father who lives with him, who he's, you know, has health issues anyway, and he's protective of him, of course, and of course his visitors to the park. He launched that on social media, and he got bombarded with abuse and criticism and so on. But then very quickly those initial negative reactions turned into a positive, and he's been overwhelmed by people wanting to book in and stay and congratulating him on his stance and so on. Look, it's a vexing question, and of course we've seen what's been going on with Anne Webster this week.
That's right. Yeah, what did you... Anne joined me through the week to talk about her new petition to say, no, thank you, Dan Andrews, we won't be making it mandatory to get the vaccination, although just to qualify that she's not anti-vax at all. She's very promoting everyone gets the vaccination. She just says this is just not a good direction.
Yeah, look, it's got nothing to do with the vaccine as such. Yep. And as you say, she's not anti-vax at all, quite the contrary.
Yep.
She's double vaxxed herself, and she encourages everyone who can to have the vaccination. Mm. This is an issue of, if you like, democracy and liberty, civil liberties. I think there is a line that's being crossed here, but whether it's justified in the name of a health emergency, that's the debate. And you know, and Ali Cupper has been very critical of Anne, saying that, you know, it's disruptive and irresponsible of her to do this. That's for people to decide. There's a lot of pushback against the government's mandating of vaccination in Melbourne, amongst the police and all sorts of vocations who are concerned. And of course, there's a challenge being launched in the Supreme Court by two Victorian teachers.
That's right.
We'll see where that goes. Yeah, look, a vexing question, no doubt about it. I'm getting my second
jab today
of the Pfizer, and I can't wait because I'm quite concerned about where this is going.
Yeah.
And the ironical thing is we're opening up, Australia's opening up, irrespective of this virus. And if you're not vaccinated, you take the risk.
Yeah, and it is certainly coming to town with that opening those gates as well. Another article in this week's publication I wanted to get to was, great business direction out in Merbein. Now, I interviewed this gentleman, manager, a couple of months back, but making face masks locally, and it's taking off.
That's right. Well, that's Ulster's, the company. That's an acronym for Analytical Laboratories and Technical Services Australia, and they're located at the old CSIRO facility in South Merbein.
Yep.
They do some terrific work there. They test soil and water samples and all that sort of thing, but they've got this subsidiary business now, a production line producing face masks locally, all individually wrapped too, which is a point of difference, and just absolutely brilliant. Of course, Brett Millington and Anne Webster were out there with Ray Harris, the CEO, General Manager, and his team there. And it's a great story in this week's paper to highlighting the fact that they've come up with this innovation during a difficult time. And, of course, at the heart of this for me is Australia needs more manufacturing, full stop.
That's right, absolutely.
And if we can get manufacturing in this region and manufacturing across the country, we need to do it because we are vulnerable and on a number of fronts. That's a story for another day, really. Yeah.
But good economically for the region. 2.5 million masks is what they can churn out per year. That's quite significant.
It's incredible, yeah. And they it's amazing how they've done this in a very short period of time, and it's a terrific little project.
Good facility. Bad taxes. Windfall gains tax. I interviewed Glenn Milne through the week. I wanted to get your perspective on this one because this is not good for our rural property owners.
Oh, well, look, I think as Glenn so aptly puts it, it's a money grab.
Yeah.
Now, far be it for me to be cynical, but when a government has a massive debt such as the Victorian government does, and it's not just the Victorian government, they will be looking at all avenues of revenue and... why not tax a windfall? This in this instance we're talking about, if, for example, a patch of land is
rezoned
to from agricultural to commercial or residential, more particularly, the price goes up overnight. Well, the government says, okay, well, was worth $1 million, now it's worth two. We'll take 50% of that windfall.
Yeah,
And it's an immediate thing. It sits there as a debt until you sell it, and it's you're liable to pay it. Or if you sell it on to somebody, then they will be liable for it. It seems a cynical grab for money, these are always bad principles or precedents to set. You say, okay, well, if you do that, well, you know, that lovely lotto win you had Saturday night, we're now going to bring in a law and we'll take a bit of that.
Yeah, I wish that was the case, John.
The win.
Yeah, that's right, the lotto win.
The point is that Glenn moved a motion at council to send a letter to the government opposing this tax, and council have done that.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But a full breakdown of what that's all about, of course, in this week's publication. Once, just quickly as well, the Real Estate Guide in there as well, a great read. Make sure you grab yourself a copy, Mildura Weekly. John Dooley, always good to have you in the studio.
Thanks, guys.
Hello, this is Neil Mitchell. I'm delighted to be part of the